Okay, we have here a very interesting medrash in the beginning of Vayechi. It says, Rabbi Yochanan kishoyim mistalek min ha'edam. Rabbi Yochanan, before his p'tira, Omar la'oisam shayisrichin etapel bo. He told the people that were taking care of him, or were going to take care of him after his p'tira, kivrotzel b'kedem svuyim devrika. Bury me with the color, something like gray or something neutral, a neutral color. Lo levenim, not white. Velo shcharim, not black. So the Mefarshim say the minig was that tzaddikim, they used to bury with white, and rishonim, they used to bury with black. We obviously do not have such a minig. So we told the people that they should bury him neutral. Why? Shema ma'ati ben ha-tzaddikim. Because if when Atchias HaMeisim comes, I'm going to be recreated with reborn with the tzaddikim. So, in other words, if you're going to bury me with black, so there's a possibility that I'm a tzaddik, and I'll have Atchias HaMeisim with the tzaddikim, and I'll be embarrassed. You know, I'm a tzaddik, and I'm wearing black, like as if I'm a dinaveris. It's like, what are you doing there with the tzaddikim? Pimimati ben Rishayim. Lo nevosh, and vice versa. If I'm created with the Rishoyim, and I'm going to come up with the Rishoyim, and I'm going to be wearing white, yeah, you know, look at this, here's a Rasha, and he thought he was a tzaddik. It's also embarrassing. I don't know, didn't he call him lo nevosh? Don't know. So it's an amazing medrash, because it basically says that Rav Yochanan apparently had a suffix. He doesn't know if he's going to be recreated Tchias HaMeisim Ben HaTzadikim or Ben HaRishayim. Right? You'd assume, if Yochanan is a tremendous tzaddik, you would assume that he knew. He at least knew he's not going to be a Rasha. Maybe he thought he's a Ben HaNich, right? But not, I don't know. But weirdly, like he has such a suffix, two extremes. Maybe I'll be recreated, I'll be Tchias HaMeisim, I'll be the tzaddikim. Maybe I'll be a Rishayim. Like, why doesn't he know? So, it's apparently, you see here a chiddush, that at Shayach, a person can be a tremendous tzaddik. Rabbi Yochanan, we know, is one of the greatest tzaddikim. And a person doesn't know it. Whether that's proper Yiras Shamayim, because Shema Yigram Achet, Papir Anivis, certain midos that a tzaddik has that causes that he's not sure if he's a tzaddik or a rasha. So that's stam a chiddush. Okay, I didn't want to stop on that chiddush, but I think that is a chiddush. Okay, which means, you know, nafkamina by us is sometimes we get down on ourselves. It is possible, just like Rav Yochanan thought that he's maybe a Rasha, so maybe we also get down on ourselves too much. Of course, the other possibility is also true. Maybe we think too much of us. See that we don't really know. Rav Yoshia, okay, continuing the Medrash. Rav Yoshia, kishoy nifter min ha'edam. Rav Yoshia, when he was dying, Omer mishoy med alav, kardei talmidim, kol me talmidim, Omer em kibrosi b'kein en aveinim, bury me with white clothes. Lama, why? She'eni bush b'maisai. I'm not embarrassed. L'ha'ani kovo pleik bori. In other words, I'm going to go right up. Meet Hashem. Come on, you know. I'm not embarrassed. So it sounds like that there's a tremendous machlekes here. I think that's what the Mefarshim say. Take a machlekes. Rav Yochanan says, I don't know whether I'm a tzaddik or a rasha. I don't know. I have no idea. So therefore, you have to bury me with these gray, neutral color clothes because there's a chance, there's a 50% chance I'll be recreated by the tzaddikim, 50% chance I'll be created by the Rishayim, exactly the odds, but it seems like relatively equal. It seems that they're both possibilities. Maybe one's a little more than the other. I don't know. Rav Yoshia is because I'm going to march right into Shemayim. I'm not afraid of anyone. Any bush. Nothing. I'm not afraid. I'm going right up to Hashem to the Kisei HaKavod and say, here I am. Ready? Look at me. Right? There's a Maisa. I remember. So I found it here, and there's a Sefer Isha Lachoyma. I don't think that's where I saw it, but the Sefer Shalchayim is about Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld. This is a mice about the Shagas Aryeh. But it says there, it tells a story that Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld said that there's one person he's jealous of, or more than one person. But one person he was basically jealous, that was the Shagas Aryeh. Why is he jealous of the Shagas Aryeh? So he tells the following mice that when the Shagas Aryeh was on his deathbed, so he was reviewing Shas. Obviously, what else are you supposed to do before you die? You know, you're flipping the pages through the Gemaras so that, you know, he goes, Achamev Eshem, if they ask him any questions, so, you know, pass the Mechina, so to speak. So he's flipping one page of Gemara and then finishing it and giving it to the Shamish, give me a different Gemara, and then give me another Gemara relatively quickly. So the person that was there, there's a halacha that a mace is supposed to say vidui before you die. It's a tremendous chus to say vidui, to do tshuva, in case a person did any of avarice. So you say vidui, do tshuva right before you die. It's a very big chus. But no one had the guts to tell the Shagas Aryeh to say vidui. So the person, instead of when the Shagas Aryeh finished flipping the pages of one Gemara, reviewing, and he asked for the next Gemara, so instead, he gave him the Sefer Mavir Yavik. And actually, the yeshiva owns the Sefer. Mavir Yavik is a Sefer about what happens when a person dies. And in there, it has the vidui and arichas about what a person is supposed to do when he dies. So that was obviously a way of hinting to him that you should say vidui. So they give the Sefer to the Mavir, to the Shagas Aryeh. So he looks at it. And he says, and here's this quote from this sefer, Lo mi boy shelav ravera mamish lahayelizman. He says, not only didn't I have time in my life to ever do an avera, because I was too busy learning, so I never did an avera. And afilo lahara avera kol shehi lo yosef yadi. I didn't even have time to think to have a havamina to do an avera. My brain was so preoccupied always with learning that I never even had a thought of maybe doing an Aveira. I had no time. I'm busy learning all my life. When can I ever do an Aveira? Right? So he basically gave back the Marva Yavek and gave me another Gemara. Right? So this is very much like Rav Yoshi. You know, that I don't have to say vidui. You know, I know nothing. I never did an Aveira. I didn't say vidui, what for? I know, I never did an Aveira in my life. So it's a very strange thing. Kind of manda machlaikas. Such a two extremes. We have Rav Yochanan. You know, someone would say, well, Edo v'Edo. How can it be Edo v'Edo? You know, Rav Yochanan, who's a god of Ador, Rav Yochanan, who's a mechaber of the Yishalmi, Rav Yochanan, who's Reish Lakish's Rebbe, says, I don't know. Maybe I'm a tzaddik. Maybe I'm a rasha. I don't know. You know, we can't bury me in white because maybe I'm a rasha. Well, bizayin. A big shot. He thinks he's a tzaddik and he's a rasha. Oh, what a bizayinus. So Rav Yochanan, be'emes, he's not just making believe on nevis. This is, he really doesn't know. This is his shita. He's passing malacha. I don't know. Rav Yoshia, yeah, sure. And it's not just Rav Yoshia. Shagas Aryeh is a few thousand years after the Rav Yochanan. He says, I know for sure. Like, what's going on here? Rav Yochanan doesn't know for sure, and Rav Yoshia and the Shagas Aryeh a thousand years later knows for sure. Well, either does the tzaddik know, or doesn't he know? That was my kasha. So I think there's a very, very big insight here. It's a very important yisoid. The truth is, I heard this yisoid. I heard it, especially, I heard from a few people. I especially heard it from Rav Yosef Cohen Zatzal. Rav Yosef Cohen, that's Rav David Cohen's Rebbe, father. He said the following maisa. He said that and he said this a few places, but he said with this maisa, there was a few maisa. He says that in the Lajan, at one point there were two Rosh Hashivas. There was the Beis Halevi,
with Rav Yosher Ber Salvechik, the first, so to speak, of the Salvechiks, and the Nitziv. The Nitziv. And then, whatever, because they had different Dirachim in learning, apparently, so there was a certain rift in the yeshiva, the Talmidim of each one, and eventually they split. And then the Nitziv became the Rosh Yeshiva alone, and the Beis Halevi became the Rav of Brisk. Okay. But for a while they were together in yeshiva. They were both somehow or another related to Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, the Rav Chaim Volozhin's son. They were both related, and they were, therefore, the Nitziv was a son-in-law. I think Rav Beis Halevi was cousin. I don't remember exactly. But they were somehow, they were definitely related. They were either brother-in-laws or cousins or somehow. So they were related. And they were co-Rosh Yeshivas in the yeshiva. So he said that they were, one year, they made the Seder together. They made the Seder together. So he said that the Beis Halevi, as a brisker, did the brisker shita in doing mitzvahs, is to make sure you make do the mitzvahs with your yaitzeh, the mitzvah, with every single possible chumrah to get, you know, tremendous dikta kadin. That's they get their, so to speak, spirituality. With the burning the matzahs and eating the giant shear and who knows what. It says in the tziv, zerech was to get them do the mitzvahs with tremendous simcha. So together at the Seder, they have this tremendous sense of Seder together. So at the end of the Seder, the Nitziv turns to the Beis Halevi and says, Bez Hashem, next year the Beis HaMikdash should be built, rebuilt, and we should be at the Seder, not here, but in Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash. But not together. Right? Meaning that the Nitziv felt that the Beis Halevi ruined his Seder. He's trying to get Simcha of the Mitzvah, and then it's Beis Halevi. Maybe we're not Yotzi, was it the Shir? Maybe there's Chometz there. You're ruining the whole thing. Which means what he was saying, Rav Yosef Kahn, was that they had two totally different drachim of Avodas Hashem. The Beis Halevi got his ruchnius from being machmir, from being nervous, from having Yiras Shamayim. Who knows, maybe, and that somehow gave him, that hither in the din was a tremendous avoda and uplifted him and gave him his seatbook and everything. And then Nitziv got his seatbook by doing the mitzvahs besimcha and just, you know, and the two of them just couldn't be together. It's a stira. So what he was saying, Rav Yisrael, there's a piece in the Chafetz Chaim that he says this, not so clear in the Chafetz Chaim, but Chafetz Chaim says sort of this idea that by Yeshua and Kalev that they had different approaches how to act against the Meraglim. That Yeshua Kalev made believe that he would agree with the Meraglim, and Yeshua argued with the Meraglim, and that explains a different series in the Psukim why Yeshua needed a bracha, Kalev didn't need a bracha, whatever. But he said that was the concept. That his basic idea was that you can have two great gedolim, they can have based on different reasons. It could not necessarily even because of different messiahs. It could just be on something in their personality. But they could have two different drachim of Avodas Hashem. It's not one way, and only one way to reach shleimus. There are more than one derech. That doesn't mean that anything anyone does is Torah, because it has to be based on a proper derech. But there's not just one derech. There could be opposite drachim. There could be opposite drachim. The Nitziv and the Beis Halevi, in a sense, were opposite drachim. They couldn't coexist in the same room. And eventually they had to be in two different yeshivas. That was maybe in the derech and learning, but it's the same idea. But they're both obviously Eido v'Eido. They're both right. So it comes out, the chat over here. Rav Yochanan's derech and Avodas Hashem will say he's worried. Maybe I'm a Rasha. Face, I don't know. Maybe, who knows what kind of Averis I'm doing. And at the end of his life, he's convinced that there's a 50%, or not 50, but a decent possibility that I'm a Rasha. Rav Yoshe's hashkafa in life is or he's going to march into Shemayim and say, okay, I'm here, we're all right, you know, I made it, you know, that's the Shagas Aryeh. I never had a chance to do an Aveira. I mean, never. Right? So it's not a stira. It is a stira, but that's what it is. In other words, it's a realization. It's a very good example of this kashkafen that we see in Chazal, that you not only have machloikasim in halacha, in how you learn a pasuk, there could be the total machloikasim hanhogas. I don't believe if they have different messiahs. I know that, you know, maybe today we have different messiahs. I don't believe in the time of Chazal there were different messiahs. I don't know. But it could be different way. Each person was kind of his mahale that worked for him with his tchunas in serving Hashem. I don't think it's because Rav Yechon had a different Rebbe than Rav Yeshi had, though it is possible. But it's just, they were obviously, people are different, and people have different ways of approaching things and accomplishing things, and each person has to be true to his etzem personality. And there are, it's not a stira. And if someone else is serving Hashem in a totally opposite way that you are, but if it's legitimate, which is obviously a big if, then you deserve tremendous respect. And it's not that, oh, this is the only way to do it. My Rebbe did it. This way is the only way to do it. No. It could be a totally opposite way. It's a very important hashkafa. See, even in the Gemara, that there were different Amoraim that had totally different approaches. Okay. Just to continue through the Medrash, just a little similar idea. We have the Medrash brings when Rebbe was Nifter, and then it brings a fast lane Maisa with Rebbe. It says, that Rebbe had some kind of toothache for 13 years, and then after he was angry at Rav Chiya. So Eliyahu HaNavi came in the dmus of Rav Chiya to Rebbe, and he basically cured his toothache. He touched his tooth and it was better. Rav Chiya came in and Rebbe said that, you know, you cured my tooth. And Rav Chiya said it wasn't me. So they realized it was Eliyahu HaNavi. So then it says, may also show the last five lines, last line in the Medrash and the Parak, may also show Hisko Linog Rav Chiya Kovet. Whereas it seems that till then, it seems that this is what it says in Mephorshim, that till then Rebbe was not Machshev Rav Chiya. Here he even had a tain on Rav Chiya till now. Till then, Rebbe was not Machshev Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya was a Talmud. He wasn't Machshev him. And at a certain point, he even got he was angry at him, upset with him. Ah. And then this Maisa Nais happened. Hashem made a Nais. He sent Eliyahu HaNavi in the Dmus of Rav Chiya to go ahead and cure Rebbe. And with that, Rebbe realized that Rav Chiya was a much higher madrega than he thought, and he started respecting Rav Chiya. So I think it's a little bit of a similar idea. That means that Rebbe, who is the God Adar, and he has a Talmud, and it seems that the Talmud came to him every day, and Rav Chiya is always with him. Comes to him very common. And Rebbe, he does not makshiv Rav Chiya. He doesn't makshiv him, he doesn't have covet him, he even has tainas against him, he's angry with him. And he needed a Nes Min HaShemayim to reveal to him that Rav Chiya is a great person. So it's sort of the same idea where a person, not exactly the same with different drachim, but you know, there's a person, you know, Rav Chiya obviously had his approach, different, maybe personality, different than Rebbe. I don't know exactly why. But Rebbe, when he saw Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya did not impress Rebbe. He didn't impress him. Something about Rav Chiya that Rebbe did not get, was not impressed by Rav Chiya. So it's a chiddush that you can have a Talmud that there could be really on a tremendous madrega, and the Rebbe could be a gadol ador and not realize it. And I assume, you know, that part is mukhruch, that you can have a that you can have be a Talmud and you're not appreciated. And that's, you know, there are people that are very often great people and just people don't appreciate them. It happens in the world. You know, it happens in the world that the people don't appreciate them. They're just not appreciated. It doesn't sound like Rav Chiya was trying to be a Nister. It's just whatever. For whatever reason, he wasn't being appreciated. It does happen. But what I suspect the Hesber Gufa is, it's because it's a different personality. So in Rebbe's way of looking at things, Rav Chiya is, you know, I'm not in spoil because Rav Chiya does things different than Rebbe. That's what I would assume, even though Rebbe Chiya was a Talmud of Rebbe. But somehow he didn't, Rebbe, but okay, that you can't say for sure. But what you do see is that, again, that there are differences. That Rav Chiya is a great person, and yet Rebbe is not Machshavit, which is somewhat of a similar type of thing. It's not necessarily exactly the same, not 100% Mukhlach, it's the same, but it's definitely similar. That you can have different approaches, and I can be different, and the other person, the one Gadol, cannot machshav the other Gadol, because from his perspective, there's no big, what you're doing is no big shakes. It's not no godless. So basically, what comes out is, I think it's a lesson that we have to have in being makir, I mean machshav people. Person has to have an ayin tov. Especially when they're people that are dedicating their lives to Torah, to mitzvahs, to go ahead and to realize that we don't have a monopoly on. It's not that there is one monopoly. There's not one derech that's only set up. Already in the time of the Chazal, in the time of the Gemara, even a Rebbe and his Talmud could have different approaches sometimes. And that it's a person, even though the way I see it, it's this way. But a person, a different person, who's also a Gadol, can see it differently, and it could be the two Mahalchim could be Eidu v'Eidu, the proper approach.